And as the power to rule is so necessary a bond of society, that if it be taken away, society must at once be broken up, it follows that from him who is the author of society has come also the authority to rule, so that whosoever rules, he is the minister of God. Wherefore, as the end and nature of human society so requires, it is right to obey the just commands of lawful authority, as it is right to obey God, who ruleth all things. And it is most untrue that people have in it their power to cast aside their obedience whensoever they please. In like manner, no one doubts that all men are equal one to another, so far as regards their common origin and nature, or the last end which each one hath to attain, or the rights and duties which are thence derived. But as the abilities of all are not equal, as one differs from another in the powers of mind or body, and as there are very many dissimilarities of manner, disposition, and character, it is most repugnant to reason to endeavor to confine all within the same measure, and to extend complete equality to the institutions of civil life. Just as a perfect condition of the body results from the conjunction and composition of its various members, which, though differing in form and purpose, make, by their union and the allotment of each one to its proper place, a combination beautiful to behold, firm in strength, and necessary for use. So, in the commonwealth, there is an almost infinite dissimilarity of men as parts of the whole. If they are to be all equal, and each is to follow his own will, the state will appear most deformed. But if, with a distinction of degrees of dignity, or pursuits and employments, all aptly conspire for the common good, they will present a natural image of a well-constituted state. End of quote. The communist doctrines which follow from the Declaration of the Rights of Man are refuted by the same pontiff in his luminous encyclical letter Rerum Novarum on the conditions of the working class. A few passages which are not as familiar to Catholics as they should be will be quoted. Quote, with reason then, the common opinion of mankind, little affected by the few dissentients who have contended for the opposite view, has found in the careful study of nature and in the laws of nature the foundations of the division of property, and the practice of all ages has consecrated the principle of private ownership as being preeminently in conformity with human nature and as conducting in the most unmistakable manner to the peace and tranquility of human existence. That right of property, which has been proved to belong naturally to individual persons, must in likewise belong to a man in his capacity as head of a family. Nay, such a person must possess this right so much the more clearly in proportion as his position multiplies his duties. That ideal equality about which they, the socialists, entertain pleasant dreams would be in reality the leveling down of all to a like condition of misery and degradation. Hence it is clear that the main tenet of socialism, community of goods, must be utterly rejected, since it only injures those whom it would seem to benefit, is directly contrary to the natural rights of mankind, and would introduce confusion and disorder into the commonweal. The first and most fundamental principle, therefore, if one would undertake to alleviate the condition of the masses, must be the inviolability of private property. Let it then be taken for granted, in the first place, that the condition of things human must be endured, for it is impossible to reduce civil society to one dead level. Socialists may, in that intent, do their utmost, but all striving against nature is in vain. As regards bodily labor, even had man never fallen from the state of innocence, he would not have remained wholly unoccupied. But that which would then have been his free choice and his delight became afterwards compulsory and the painful expiation for his disobedience. Cursed be the earth in thy work, in thy labor thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. In like manner, the other pains and hardships of life will have no end or cessation on earth, for the consequences of sin are hard to bear, and they must accompany man so long as life lasts. To suffer and to endure, therefore, is the lot of humanity. Let them strive as they may. No strength and no artifice will ever succeed in banishing from human life the ills and troubles which beset it. If any there are who pretend differently, who hold out to a hard-pressed people the boon of freedom from pain and trouble, and undisturbed repose and constant enjoyment, they delude the people and impose upon them, and their lying promises will only one day bring forth evils worse than the present. Nothing is more useful than to look upon the world as it really is, and at the same time to seek elsewhere, as we have said, for the solace to its troubles. The great mistake made in regard to the matter now under consideration is to accept the idea that class is naturally hostile to class, and that the wealthy and the working men are intended by nature to live in mutual conflict. So irrational and so false is this view that the direct contrary is the truth. Private ownership, as we have seen, is the natural right of man, and to exercise that right, especially as members of society, is not only lawful, but absolutely necessary. It is lawful, says St. Thomas of Aquinas, for a man to hold private property, and it is also necessary for the carrying on of human existence. But if the question be asked, how must one's possessions be used? The Church replies without hesitation in the words of the same holy doctor. Man should not consider his outward possessions as his own, but as common to all, so as to share them without hesitation when others are in need. Whence the Apostle saith, commend the rich of this world to offer with no stint to apportion largely. True, no one is commanded to distribute to others that which is required to keep up becomingly his condition in life. For no one ought to live other than becomingly. But when what necessity demands has been supplied and one standing fairly taken thought of it, it becomes a duty to give to the indigent out of what remains over. Of that which remaineth, give alms.